Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2, season 3 of Showmez. We are glad to have you back. I am joined by Paul Uliveri, Nate Sexton, and Jeremy Kohling.
That's me.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. This episode 2 is going to start us off in the year 2017 in our recap of the 10 years of Showmez Pro and disc golf and the wonderful ride that we have all been on. Thank you guys for joining.
Let's do this. This is something you guys don't see that we do. We before every commentary, we throw the Nux, and you know,
pass yours
on. John, you're gonna have to pass the Nux down to Yuli down there. But we like to little embrace right before get going.
It's showtime.
It's a team.
Showmez time.
Showmez time this time.
But yeah, I've never gotten to be a part of that because anytime we did Showmez, we were never together.
Well, we do a lot of
I don't do commentary with you guys.
Remember all the Zoom screens we were trying to...
That's true.
Well, there's nothing that replaces like the physical.
Oh, the Zoom screens, yeah. The fist bumps, yeah.
Yeah, people really loved that. That was one of the best things we ever did on Showmez. People really just thought that was amazing.
They still remember it.
Yeah, can't forget it.
No, it was always the opposite of whatever you're looking at, so that was the weird thing. You're like, okay, they're over here.
Yeah, totally.
Fist bump up there.
Yeah, so we hope you all enjoyed the first episode as we went from 2012, the very inception of Showmez Pro, all the way up through the end of 2016. And yeah, so now as we start into 2017, this is going to be a little bit more where there's a little bit more involvement from the guys here, because before we kind of existed sort of independently of the crew, as you know now, up until kind of the very end. But as we got into 2017, I mentioned last time that UC Maresma had given us some really great opportunities at USDGC and the La Mirada Open. And as we got into 2017, I remember at USDGC that year in 2016, he asked me, he was like, hey, if we were able to make it work, would you and Michael and Jerry be open to coming to Australia to come film the Aussie Open? And I was like, every time UC comes to us with like an opportunity, like Yuli said, if he's ever asking you to do anything, like it's a big deal. Yep. And it was enough for him to ask us to come to USDGC and then go to La Mirada for the Disc Golf World Tour and then come back to USDGC the next year in 2016. And then when he said that, I'm just like, how does this keep happening? Like UC has all these like amazing opportunities and he wants us. Out of all the people that he has a big crew, he has a lot of people over in Finland that work with him.
He's a visionary. And he sees talent.
It was such an honor to even be asked, and I was like, for sure we will go if it works out. And so that was in October of 2016, and then over the next couple months as the off season kind of rolled along, he said, hey, look, it looks like we're ready to go. Like, we can pay you X amount of dollars. It wasn't much because the cost of travel alone was so expensive. But he ended up being able to offering to fly myself, Michael, and Jerry over to Australia, to Perth in Western Australia for the 2017 Aussie Open. And it was just an insane experience. I'd never been on an international trip ever. I barely just started flying a few years before that just because of disc golf. So it was incredible. It was so much fun. We
speak for yourself.
Oh, okay. So getting into that. Okay. So this is something we'll touch on really quickly. So Germ, I think you had gone to New Zealand before
that. No, that was after.
After. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm not sure what happened, but I'll let you tell the story of really briefly how you
really
ended up not being able to play the Aussie Open.
Yeah, that was such a bummer. I mean, you're talking about travel expenses. I think my trip, round trip, was like a $3,000 ticket, you know, to get down there. And chance of a lifetime, go down to Australia, just like another world. And when you look at the map, the world flipped. Perth is the closest city to exactly across the world from Charlotte.
Wow.
So I cannot get farther at another major city than Perth, Australia. So I was so pumped and got down there. First day of action, felt fine. I got there in the mid-afternoon and played a little bit, but I mean, obviously 30 hours of travel, you're just exhausted. Next day I played, they had a little doubles event and I felt fine. I think I rolled my ankle in the sand out there and I was like, my ankle hurts, but I'll be fine. And we got lunch. We're planning on having a barbecue that night with my host who lived in Perth. And I was like, yeah, I think I need to just get some rest. I think I'm like a little bit, just travel sick. Went back to his apartment and I just kind of laid down on the couch for a little while and I just like passed out. Woke up and I felt horrible. And then for the next, what are you doing over there, Paul? I don't see your little, you know, thingies. Next 120 hours, like several days, did not move from the carpet on his floor. Because for some reason, the carpet was more comfortable than the couch. I just watched all of Netflix. And
there wasn't as much of it back then.
Yeah,
back
2017, then, I think 2017. It was about a 120-hour playlist.
Exactly. But I didn't know what I had. I went to the hospital, and they laughed at me because I was an American. And were like, yeah, we have free health care down here, but you don't in America. So if we came there, we'd have to pay for it. You don't get free health care just because you're here. So, you know, they're like, it wouldn't be worth it to pay us what you'd have to pay us to diagnose you with whatever you have. Here's some medicine. Hopefully it helps you not get lost is kind of what the message was. And never really was technically diagnosed. We called it the wombat fever, which is completely made up. But
and that's what accurately it was. Described, it's not made up. That's a real thing.
I did not move from the couch other than like one time for so long, and I've never been so sick in my life.
I remember there's a photo, hopefully I can pull it up right now as I'm talking about it. I think I can dig it up. And it's a photo of Germ finally coming to the course for the first
time.
Finally
felt well enough to stand
up. On the final round, he comes, and he's watching the lead card, and there's a photo of him standing there, and we all knew that he was like sick as a dog with wombat fever. Like, sick as a wombat, as they might say.
That's what they do say in the Southern Hemisphere.
And he standing there, and there's a picture of Paul like on the T-pad or on a backup or something, and Paul, this look that he has when I took this picture, and I had to caption it, when you know he's just had wombat fever, because Paul's looking at Germ. Paul's looking at Germ like kind of standoffish, like, oh yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're out here in close quarters.
This is like way before COVID, but we were just like, wombat fever sounds like something I don't want. It's like Montezuma's Revenge or something, you know. You're just like one of those things that like you travel and it's like the local thing that that the tourists get and that you don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first place my mind went. I mean, almost exactly 3 years later, global pandemic.
Yeah, oh, it took a little while to spread.
Patient zero right here, folks.
My gosh, it was awful. I mean, just going across the world, like opportunity that, I mean, I've never been to Australia since. I'd love to go back at some point.
I don't know that they'll have you back,
it.
But you can try.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just so ungodly hot. I remember it was like 45 degrees Celsius, and it was just like 114 or something like that.
I felt like sunburn hits harder down there. I don't know why, but I really think
the ozone's thinner.
I don't know
the
science behind it, but anyways. Just real quick, everyone. As you know, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary, and with this episode of Showmez, we're releasing two new throwback stamps and a bunch of molds from Innova and Discraft on showmezpro.com. Both of these new stamps were designed back in 2017 when we chose to commit to staying up all night in order to produce next day coverage. We did that because we saw that you loved waking up the next day and seeing the notification that the videos were up on YouTube. Our throwback collection is available right now on JoMezPro.com, and we have Innova Wraiths, Rocks, AVRs, Firebirds, and Destroyers. And on the Discraft side, we've got Lunas, Nukes, Zeus's, Heats, Passions, Buzzes, and Zones. So visit JoMezPro.com to see what plastics these are all available in. And again, thank you so much for supporting our work and celebrating 10 years of disc golf content with us. Now, back to the episode. Australia, the 2017 Aussie Open was amazing. We had, it just like boosted our confidence more than anything we had done. Every time we got a new opportunity, or every time UC came to us with something else, it was just like, this is just the next level up for us. And it's just like, as long as we, like we said before last episode, as long as we kept showing up and just like making the most of these opportunities that we had, it was just like, we just kept on finding new opportunities like onto the next one. And so right after we got back from Aussie Open, we decided that this is it. Like, this 2017 is going to be the year, like, myself, Jerry, and Michael, all, I don't know how I can convince some, like, people to do something like this. Like, they're just such good friends, and they're just ride or die. We ended up starting a GoFundMe campaign because we had no money. We were about to quit our full-time jobs. And myself, Michael, and Jerry, as you can see on this video here, little baby guys, look at Jerry. Oh, my goodness. And look at my freaking flat bill. Oh boy. We don't have to play this whole thing. But anyways, we started a GoFundMe campaign. I think we raised like $5,000, and like,
that's awesome.
To this day, it's the only money we've ever had to take in JoMez Pro. Like that, and that means even more to me than like if we had taken funding from, you know, like typical businesses when they grow and stuff. Like it's just like, it's insane that we took a $5,000, you know, and we didn't just take the money. We gave up, I mean, we had tier levels and stuff, just like a Kickstarter would, but it was like a GoFundMe. We sent out discs and merchandise and stuff to everybody that supported. But that's that kickstarted us, so to speak, even though it's GoFundMe. Sorry. it got us out the door. Like, literally, like we quit our jobs. We made that announcement. We said, we're going on tour. Steve Dodge, who was in charge of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, it was only the second year of the Pro Tour. And he was like, hey, like, if you want to show up, I'll let you film all 10 events or whatever it was on the tour. And I was like, if that's what we needed, was the guarantee of the work to know that if we were able to go out, that we had somewhere to work. Because that's back then, it was like, we didn't know if we were ever going to be paid or if people were going to want us there and all that. So going into 2017, after we got back from, after we got back in the United States, that's when the Disc Golf Pro Tour started, and we made a deal with Steve Dodge to film all their events, and we quit our jobs and we went for it, and we hopped in my Chevrolet Silverado and we all just packed as much stuff as we could, and we drove all the way from San Angelo, Texas to Scottsdale, Arizona, in the Phoenix area, and to the Memorial Championship. And this is the first event that we had Juan Garcia on full time as our graphics guy, and it just changed the game. Like before that, like we had the Worlds in 2016, but this was like a whole new scoring system. Like he always wanted to change things up. I want to put the hole in the par and the feet and everything on the screen at all times, and I want to, you know, put the graphics up with the logos and the names and out of bounds and par and birdie. It was just like everything about it was so like incredible, like to see the change, the evolution. But one thing that I don't really regret is like the nightmare it was to put those graphics together from scratch, because Juan wasn't even there. He lives in Los Angeles and he couldn't make it to the event, and he just sent all the graphics over. And if you know what any of this looks like on the back end, it's just a bunch of little file names that you have to plug in to After Effects, I mean into Premiere after they ran through After Effects. And it was just like, it was insane. I didn't sleep almost that entire tournament once it started. It was awful, but like I don't regret any of it. Like it just had to happen. We had Nate Sexton and Paul McBeth back, you know, return from the 2015 Sexy Beast Takeover, as we showed you last episode, and it was so much fun. Like I would stay up all night. We were staying in like Chandler, Arizona or something. I think that's whatever the city was. And they were staying at Anthony Barella's parents' house in Mesa. And I would stay up all night editing and rendering because the renders kept crashing. There were so many things going wrong. And I would drive to Mesa, film commentary with them, which is like a 45-minute drive for me. And then I would take the file. Oh, gosh, that was close. I would take the file and... that was Simon. Was that Simon?
That was Rick. That was the Rickster.
That was Rick. That was amazing. That fall of flight was sick. And then I would take the file, drive 45 minutes back, and plug that in and just leave it rendering because we were trying to do next day coverage. I mean, it was such a nightmare with the new graphics system. And like, I'm on the phone with Juan. Like, I feel like there was many times where I felt like just crying because you're just so sleep deprived and you know that you have to go and film and start this all over again, like immediately. And it's just like the experience, like it was...
Look at that drive.
It was like a nightmare, but like it got us to this point, and it got the season started, and people were very excited to see the return of disc golf as they always are after the season, and they knew that we'd committed to this full time, and it was just like awesome. So the memorial has always had a special place in my memory, in that like that's the opportunity that Steve Dodge gave us, and it got us out the door, and we quit our jobs, and we were just like, all right, like we're not gonna make any money, but if we keep showing up, like this is just like how we're gonna make this work. And so then we move into Waco, 2017 Waco Annual Charity Open. The first round, I believe we had Simon and Eagle on commentary, and then somehow Germ just finagled his way in there and decided
just responded to a text message.
Yeah, I don't know. That might have been it. I don't know. No, but it was awesome. I remember I reached out to Germ and I said, "Hey, man, like." We've got commentary with Eagle and Simon. I think it'd be really awesome to have you on. Even as far back as 2017, even after all the stuff we had been through, like Germ was still like one of my closest like connections with pros and a good friend because I had known him for probably the longest. And So yeah, so he came, and this was Germ's first ever time doing commentary. It was in 2017. I think I've got a photo that I can put up on screen right now. And Germ might remember the date exactly. I think you just talked about it in your profile piece.
It was March 18th, 2017. And this was back in the days when you were inviting whoever was doing well in the tournament to come and join commentary. So we always had a random cast of people. But it was starting from this event on that I did not miss.
Did you make that putt before we?
I would imagine I did, man. I was kind of on fire that week.
Nice. So anyways, so Germ goes on to make it to the finals again, into a playoff against James Conrad. And then we invited James Conrad to do the commentary with you final round because Simon, as good as he is at commentary, he absolutely hates it. Like he refuses almost every time unless I'm just like as a friend being like, dude, come on, please. And then he'll do it. But everyone loves him. But he just like doesn't like it. It's so funny. So we had here we go. See if Germ makes the putt. So we had James.
Well, he made it. Come on.
Spoiler.
Benefit of the doubt.
Okay, so we get James in there, and it's James and Germ, and James still to this day even probably like doesn't say a lot, but he certainly didn't in 2017 when he was pretty new to the scene. Yeah. And the whole commentary, you can go back and watch it. It is so awkward. Like it's just poor James is like, what do you want me to do? Like Germ is like good at this already.
Germ for sure says more in a day than James says in a week. I have no doubt. If you put a word count on him, no doubt.
I mean, every word I say, I get closer and closer to the last word I'll ever say. So might as well get him out now.
You said plenty.
Yeah. More than James can even catch up to in his lifetime at this point.
Oh, yeah.
No, but anyways, it was great. I love that James was a good sport about it, and Germ obviously helped him get through that, and James has come so far, but it's cool to see even that far back where James like didn't have any media experience on how to do interviews and things like that. You know, you can do the same thing with a lot of these guys, like Paul and Ricky and all them. Like, it's crazy on you guys' side, like being in front of the cameras more, that media is more of has a more bigger presence, like how you guys have just been able to like be able to train yourselves up on like how to answer questions or especially if someone like, you know, like asks you like what happened that round and you might not even be in a good mood, but you're kind of like,
well, we got to give James a little bit more credit than what we've given him already, just because he was the first guy in my memory that actually, while waiting to do commentary the next morning or the night before.
Okay, before you even go farther, I brought statistics. I'm going to tell you this, I swear, because I get in this argument with Germ all the time.
He didn't even get to say what he was going to say. No,
because I bring statistics. Germ makes fun of me for bringing the statistics, shuts it down. The next time I do it, James comes in with a notepad of statistics, and Germ's like, wow, this is the greatest thing. That's so cool that you did.
I have no recollection of Paul's stats, but I do remember James' stats
James
quite well.
James had it all handwritten,
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he spent a lot of time with that. Germ has given,
and there were many nights that after James did that I was like, that's next level. Because we didn't have UDIS providing that. It wasn't an easy resource. So the initial days of stats, there was a lot of hard work. And then we finally got, what was his name? Dave? No, what was the stats guy?
Who
we had
that
like
guy?
A million nicknames for him.
The guy that kept sending.
Gosh,
the
it
stats.
Was in 2017.
Yeah, and
gosh,
he was the
how did we forget that?
We had 45 nicknames.
Is it Dave Clancy? Because it was
Fancy Clancy.
Fancy Dave Clancy. Necromancy Clancy.
Yeah, we gave him a new nickname every time.
I remember that.
That was, I think, what we called Necromancy Clancy.
He never reached out. He never reached out again. We will never forget you, Dave Clancy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Honestly,
that
guy
was awesome.
So
he was a huge resource.
He volunteered stats and would email it over every night.
Yeah, he was the man, and he was an actual statistics professor. I forget what university, but like that's what the guy was paid to do. That was his living.
And
he brought it. He sent it to us overnight, so we had that stuff in front of us. And then the next year, those stats were being provided by one of the services, maybe UDisc.
Yeah.
But then we didn't quite need it as much.
About you, Dave.
He
pulled all that
we
himself.
Might have forgot your name momentarily, but
somebody
never forget.
Somebody in the comments is gonna find all the nicknames.
It's in there. Okay, so after we get back from Waco, we decided that driving around in the truck was not gonna cut it for three people and a lot of gear. So we ended up going and buying this little 30-foot RV. I took out every penny I had, and my parents co-signed, and I bought this RV for like $20,000. It was like a 2005, and we just hopped in it, and we're like, I don't know the first thing about driving an RV, but here we go. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, we loaded in it and we hit the road to Nick Hyde Memorial, and didn't know anything about what we were doing, but we were like, hey, as long as I stay in between these lines, I think that's pretty much the main thing you need to remember. And yeah, so we get to Nick Hyde Memorial, and as some of you already know, that is the birth of Big Sexy Commentary.
Let's go,
you guys. Just right. Yeah, Nick Hyde Memorial has got some pretty good milestones for us, and I don't remember. I know we're playing the clip right now, and maybe not with the audio, but do you remember, like, dude, I love these intros. 2017, yeah. That theme song. That's theme still song. People still just say it'll never get better, and I'm like, well, I mean, at least we were good at least at one point. People really have very strong opinions on the music, and I understand. I love that they're so passionate about it.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was a freaking.
I mean, was it an easy decision for you guys to name? This could be a dumb question, but to name it Big Sexy, it wasn't a problem.
Sexy
right?
Beast was already established.
Yeah,
big as Big Germ and Sexy, it was like it was a no brainer, and like
So you didn't have to talk Germ out of saying just Sexy Germ Commentary?
That it was just like initially going to be Big Germ Commentary with Nate Sexton.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then
occasionally
and then
featuring.
Like, I think maybe since I've been doing this for longer than you, and people in general like me more, and I don't really throw some people off the commentary, then maybe it should be both of us.
Speaking of, Yuli, didn't you guys have like multiple names for years in Germs? Like, haven't y'all changed names over the years? Or like,
I think probably. What was it at first, Jerm?
Big Julie.
Big
Julie. Big Julie.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Jerm wanted to
away.
Have part of his name on each of them.
Yeah. That
like
makes
he's
sense.
Like, okay, you can kind of come in and try, but
it could have been Pig Julie.
Julie
if you wanted it. I mean, but you didn't really, you didn't fight for it.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Look,
we got
Landon here again. I'm telling you, this dude's a stud down here.
Well, every time we go to Rockwall, man,
yeah,
he tears it up. That's his home.
Yep.
Yeah, so after Nick Hyde and the birth of Big Sexy,
what a shot, Landon.
Yeah, I mean, you guys definitely just became quite a staple. I think, were you still with Macbeth that year?
Yeah.
So you were basically at everything, right?
Yeah.
And,
was that the three-way playoff year?
I want to say it was 15. I really think
it was
15.
Maybe you already told me that. My bad.
Yeah. But,
in Augusta?
No, at Nick Hyde.
Oh, okay.
So after we get out of Nick Hyde and we hit the road, the RV had some troubles already on the first trip. We had a dead battery. We had to like get the thing rewired because it was just like, so when you buy an RV, folks, especially a used one, you just need like a thorough inspection. Don't just go hand the guy a check and say, thanks, this thing looks good enough, because there's so many things that could go wrong with an RV. So just so you know, from our experience, be careful, because we went through the ringer with a couple things. We go to Texas States, and just really quickly, I just want to touch on this. This is something that hadn't happened before for us at Texas States. In 2017, we were in Baytown, Texas, and we had not one, but two aces, two rounds in a row, and both of them got on SportsCenter Top 10. The first one, I believe, was yours, right, Sexton?
I don't know.
The forehand
over
the tree?
Was it first round? Okay, then it probably was first.
And Jerm, of course, took credit for it, as he tends to do for aces, which is understandable.
I got two reasons to take credit for that one. First, I was on the card, and it was being filmed.
Yeah.
So that's one reason combined together.
Yeah.
The second one is because Nate wasn't even practicing the line until I threw before him.
That is true.
I threw it, and he was like, I had never thought of that. And then threw it, and as one does when they take my line on camera, they ace it.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to go with a different play. I think up the middle, low or something. I can't remember.
And Dickerson in the background, a little baby Dickerson.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Just so easy.
Around
the Jerm showed me a new way.
Oh, so easy.
Dunkers.
So nice. Such a good.
Yep. Well, is that a
15?
15.
Are you throwing, a Thunderbird there?
Yeah, it wasn't a Thunderbird. It was actually a Firebird, strangely.
I have an obnoxiously long beard there, I see.
Yeah, Amish. You look more. You and Dickerson look like Amish, you guys, brothers in the back. Yeah.
You guys do look like brothers.
I know.
Like, no mustache, straight
no
beard.
No offense to the Amish. I feel like that's offending people.
Don't think it is. I think that's just
it was offensive on me, but not on others.
Yeah. So then the next day, we get the Paul Macbeth ace, which is kind of funny that we caught it in the first place, because Paul was on Chase card. And I remember we had a guy, I think his name was Chase. which is kind of weird.
Chase's card,
I'm pretty sure his name is Chase. He offered. He said, "Hey, I got a camera. I'll come. I'll if you need any help, let me know." And I said, "Hey, well, Paul's on the Chase card, and we know that it's round two. He's gonna do something crazy. Look, so go ahead and film
windy.
This." So he's standing there.
Such a sick ace.
And what a beast to ace the first hole of the round. I've never seen it. I don't know if you guys have seen that in a tournament play.
Yeah,
maybe, but still, I certainly have not seen somebody.
That
on
hole
tour.
Was so hard.
That is insanely
the
hard.
The wind
hole.
Was
with
just whipping so crazy. There's me sexy, running trying from to take the, all the credit.
Like, I was running like, all the way from the practice basket.
I
was still
over there. I said, "Nate, go give him a high five for me."
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, Jerm was definitely not on lead card that
It was funny enough, though, I was caddy corner. There was a hole that was coming out of the woods.
Yeah.
And I was about 400 feet away from him, but in a triangle from where he was going,
so
where he was teeing from.
That's what did it, then. The geometry of it all is why.
It was that tournament where I had had an ace on my card every round.
Yeah.
Starting with Nate first round, John Perry second round, and Drew Gibson third round. It was
It's just insane. It was pretty insane. The fact that we got two in a row, both of them got on top 10 2 days in a row, it was just insane. So it was pretty awesome. We then moved on to 2017 GBO in Emporia, Kansas. Something that I probably have told this story before, but we had one of the worst like nightmare experiences in the RV. Like, we have a few of nightmare experiences, but one of the worst ones, certainly the first like big problem we ever had, was the transmission started going out like an hour outside of Emporia, and it was the middle of the night. It was like 4 a.m. because we were driving through the night. Before that, like 2 hours before, 3 hours before in Wichita Falls, Texas, the awning ripped off the side of the RV because the winds were so strong going through Wichita Falls because they were like blowing really hard. And this awning was rolled up into the RV like they are when they're traveling.
Yeah.
And the wind was so strong that it should have just ripped the entire thing off the side of the RV. So I pull over and I'm like, what the heck was that? And I look and the whole thing is gone. And it's just like these two little bars that are just hanging off the side of the RV. And it the wind was so bad that we pulled over immediately and that thing was nowhere to be found. Yeah. Like, it was gone. Just
in a tornado.
And I had to get on the roof in the high winds and like unscrew the bars so they wouldn't be hanging off. And the wind, I was like, I feel like it's going to blow me off the roof of the RV. Like, it was awful.
You're not really out there until you rip an awning off an RV.
Heck yeah, man. I know you got
I've done it one and a half times.
That's awesome.
Oh God, that's scary.
So then a few hours down the road, then the RV starts slipping the transmission. You can feel it's really jerky and it's really kind of freaking us out. And I'm asleep and Jerry's driving. And we eventually get we're in the Flint Hills. We're about an hour outside of Emporia. And he's just like, dude, I have to pull over. I don't know what's going on. This thing is not doing well. So I end up getting up and I remember I sit in the seat. I'm in my underwear because I was sleeping in the back and I'm just like, okay, what's going on? Wait. I start the RV because it was dying. I start it and it starts up and then I just start accelerating because I'm not thinking that anything's going to happen and it starts going and I drive the rest of the way to Emporia because I knew that basically what was happening is when it would go into idle, it would just give out. So I knew that if I kept the gas on that it would keep going and I'm literally in my underwear driving this RV an hour through the Flint Hills, which is a lot of up and down. And I know that I cannot let off the gas on this thing because as soon as I do, the transmission is done.
And that's where they got the idea for the movie Speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was after the fact, but you know, I think it works the same way. But we pulled,
were you Keanu Reeves or were you Sandra Bullock?
You let off the gas, this whole thing's going
to
blow.
I got Sandra Bullock to play me because Tom Cruise.
No, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Same person.
My goodness. I was like, that didn't sound right.
Did Paul say Tom Cruise?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, that's
okay. So, and my suspicions were correct when we pulled into the toll booth in Emporia, and I had been driving for an hour and not knowing what was about to happen if I let off the gas. I pull over, pay the toll, and it's done. You go on the gas, and the transmission just slips right out. It took us 2 hours to drive 5 miles from that point into the repair shop in Emporia. And I had just driven in an hour but not letting out the gas. And as soon as I let out the gas, that's exactly what happened. And we would have been so screwed. Like, I made it into Emporia, but it was literally like start it up, gas it, drive like 100 yards, and then it would die again. And I pull over, and I just kept having to do that. It was that bad.
Oh my God.
So we pull into this place. This is random place. Troy's Transmission Shop, I think is what it's called in Emporia.
Shout
I think it's
Troy.
Still there. Yeah, dude, Troy saved our life.
For real.
We pull in there, And I'm like, dude, can you help us? Like, this transmission is shot. I don't know what's going on. He goes,
we'll get Brad Pitt to play you.
Yeah, we showed up at 8 a.m. Like, because we were still in, like, in town way before, like, sunrise even.
Yeah.
And we parked there, and we get there, and he's like, I don't think I can work on this. It's an RV, like, blah, blah. If you just want to go to the Ford dealership, see what they had to say. I said, Troy, I would rather pay you twice what you're going to charge me than pay the dealership, because it's still going to be more. And he was like, all right, let me see what I can do. Troy comes through, orders us a new transmission, has it next day, has this guy who happens to play disc golf work over the weekend, drops a new transmission in it for us, and we left like on Monday, like when the tournament was over. It was like, it was insane, and those guys saved our butts.
That
like,
never happens.
Exactly, especially with RVs. You know how, I mean, like, you know how it is. Like, you cannot get an RV fixed in a couple days. It's like a 2-week thing every time. You're like, hey, I have this wrong with my RV. Like, well, it might take us a couple weeks to get to it. That's just what, that's your answer. That's the standard answer.
Yeah.
And so the fact that that happened after like a nightmare experience, it was just insane. Like, I will never forget that. And, you know, and I'm glad they made a movie about it starring Sandra Bullock and Tom Cruise / Keanu Reeves. You know, it's
with
an honor.
Brad Pitt as the
bus
mechanic.
Yeah.
I've never seen an RV repair shop that doesn't have 35 RVs.
I know. Well, it wasn't. It was just an automotive transmission shop. That's why we got lucky.
It's a waiting list every time.
Yeah. So anyways, GBO was just like, it was insane. I think the tournament ended up getting canceled early because of rain. Sexton was in position to win it.
Second place, I believe.
Yeah, I was two back.
And then of course Macbeth had to call in the hurricane and stop, you know, because he can't.
That it's an illegitimate title. If you don't get to play the entire tournament out, it shouldn't count as anything. Everyone should get their entry fees back, and no one wins.
Absolutely,
it's an interesting take. Totally,
except for one time. Every other time it's happened.
Except for 6 months prior in 2016.
Yeah, majors. Obviously, majors are different.
Majors are way different. Yeah. But all the other ones, give us our money back.
Honestly, I was fine with it. The weather was so bad.
We were staying together.
I remember I went and bought a Nintendo Switch because we didn't have anything to do. They kept canceling the rounds.
Right.
So that was the first time that's the last time I bought a video game system. But I remember we bought a Nintendo Switch and played Mario Kart like the whole time.
You made
and
me then, get a Nintendo
sure
Switch.
Sure enough, down like a month down the road, we're like in Santa Cruz, and Germ is like obsessing over the Nintendo Switch.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like we're waiting to do commentary and he's playing it like it's the last video game he's ever gonna play. And
Golf Story.
I'm just glad that I was able to inspire you.
Breath of the Wild. Those are classics.
All right, so after that, we had another really amazing opportunity in UC once again calling us back and asking if we would go to the Czech Republic for the 2017 Kona Piste Open. And to this day, when I get asked, I've been asked countless times, what's your favorite course? It's Kona Piste Castle Park.
Filming purposes, why not? I mean, you can
Franz
see
Ferdinand
every hole.
There's a freaking castle.
Ferdinand's castle.
There's a bear in a moat.
Reindeer.
And I found a hedgehog on the ground in the wild. Yep. And I'm like, if you can find me another course in the world where
Sonic.
I can find a hedgehog.
He's only got three boxes you need to check.
Yeah.
Castle. Bear, castle, hog.
Yeah. So anyways, it was so much fun. The place was insane. The whole experience. I mean, if you like drinking alcohol, they drink like all the time there. So
Pilsner aplenty.
You can fit right in. Like the beers are like a dollar. And I remember being like, "Dang, man, Europe's crazy. Like you get some weird looks if you did that."
Yeah, man.
Like,
every tournament. I was born.
Remember the funny little fox from the cafeteria?
Weird. Oh, the taxidermy fox. The world famous, like horrendously taxidermied fox.
It's just
got
one eye pointing this way and the other
pointing
that.
I'll get you the
okay.
Picture
we'll show
for
the picture for you guys
picture
of the fox. Okay, it's insane. I think I have one too. But this place is magical. It feels like you're in like a video game or like a fairy tale or something when you look at these flyovers, and it just feels like you're like in this like enchanted forest.
Nothing better than like that bright, beautiful green grass down fairways in the woods. It's like the number one.
Yeah, like Waco Waco has that one hole that feels kind of like that, and this whole course is
hole 10.
Yeah, yeah. This whole course is that way.
Yep.
So Kona Piste was amazing. We got to have a great time with the local. Like, experience the local culture. This is our first time, myself, Michael, and Jerry's first time going to Europe. Actually, I don't think that's true because Michael, I think,
has
been to
Germany.
Oh, this
is where Simon has that insane finish, right?
I think that might be right.
Yeah, this is where Simon had to go.
No, that was 16.
Sorry. Oh,
was
one
it
year
16?
Before. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm not sure who won this year, but anyways, Kona Pista was amazing. Once again, UC just giving us incredible opportunities to just continue to like do our thing. Like, this was under Spin TV, but people still like knew that we had like a really good relationship going, and that like Jomez and Spin TV were working together to bring like this content from overseas in ways that like we would not have had these opportunities if we did it independently. There's absolutely no way that we could have been able to afford trips overseas.
Free belt sponsorship, Sexton.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. He doesn't even know how to tuck a shirt in. That's crazy.
Unbelievable. Unprofessional.
But at least Ricky's still rocking the oversized plaid
shorts. That's the same pair.
Big Ricky winner.
And
big
love winner. You, Ricky.
What was the winning score that year? And I don't want to know the total like number of throws. 413 strokes. I want to know under par.
Yeah, if I had to guess. Speaking of Ricky Wysocki, I did want to touch on this. This is so much fun. This is the first time we'd ever seen this, and I'm not sure. Well, I won't say that. James Conrad obviously was responsible for something very similar in a way, at least for how exciting it was. But Ricky Wysocki, the 2017 Utah Open. I believe this is Germ and Yuli. This might be y'all's first time commentating together.
Nice.
Oh,
big
yeah.
Julie, because Germ insisted that there was as many letters as possible
representing
his name in the team.
Of course.
And yeah, hole 18, Ricky, I think he's already up by one.
He's two, up like one or two. Maybe. Yeah, he's up by two. So he just needs to get a par.
But it's not the kind of hole you really can play for par that easy.
Hey, there's no way. There's like no score you can play that easy. I mean, especially this year, maybe a little more leniency, but last year at Worlds, this was like it's a postage stamp green. And they brought that OB from being all the way down to the water up to the top of the hill. And this is one you just hope that you get in bounds. And never seen,
and
I've seen people ace the first hole of the tournament, but I've never seen anyone do this.
Total walk off.
I mean, how do you do that? That's
as Germ would say, grand slam in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, but that's more common. That's more common than acing the last hole to win. You know, that's just.
Was this where he first did Raptor legs?
Yes, on his way to the basket.
That's what I.
Yeah, I think we
I don't know. 2016 Masters Cup.
No, Masters Cup.
Yeah, that was the first. But this is where he like really was like
longest Raptor legs.
He's really selling it there.
Yeah, he sold it big time.
So that was awesome. Yeah. I just wanted to touch on that real quick because it was Germ and Yuli's first commentary together. Those guys are they work so well together, even if their name isn't what it is today. But yeah, we always.
Alley-oop.
We always
alley-oop. Just catch the ball.
Oh, man. Turnover.
Turnover.
That's just a fun, like, I think we're only halfway through 2017. Like, it's just crazy. Like, we went to Worlds. I think it was on the Air Force Base.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, in Georgia.
We played at the IDGC and then also
was it Air Force?
At...
Was it Air Force Base? It was a military base of some kind. Might have been the Air Force Base, but yeah.
Yeah, so that we
Fort
had
Fort Gordon, I believe.
Fort Gordon.
Yeah, so that was our second, like, official time to be hired at Pro Worlds because we did it in 2016, which was a really big opportunity.
It's so
for
crazy
us.
Though. You're only your second Worlds because it feels like you guys were already at this point. Joma's Pro brand was well on its way to. It was the name, I think. At this point, you guys had already cemented yourself as the guys for the best graphics, you know, the commentary thing was really taking off with the big sexy brand. And it's just wild to me to think this is your second Worlds when you guys were already so committed and it's yet still so early in the story of Jomez.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to be said for like you guys' commitment to being with us, like with big sexy taking off and then big Julie, I'm still gonna just call it that because that's what it was back then.
Yeah,
but you know, it's like, dude, remember Hamas that year?
Oh my gosh, he was just young. Wow, he wasn't even. He must have been like under 20, right then.
I mean, sure, he was still just a glimmer in his parents' eyes, even at 20.
My yeah,
God. All right.
That's crazy. Like I didn't know he 17. Was even on tour in 2017.
Yeah, and I remember we couldn't do flyovers on this course, the Fort Gordon course, because of the military base. So
that's
we had
right.
to do everything from the ground, and it was like a huge undertaking for us to for us to kind of figure that out. So yeah, it was just another step along the way of us just continuing to show up and get these amazing opportunities. And like Germ said, it was only our second Worlds to like officially be hired for.
So wild.
But it's just it was just so, the momentum just kept on building in 2017. It was just incredible.
Of course.
And
it's so,
and then
hard.
Right after Worlds, like I don't think it was much later, if I remember correctly, we went over to European Open, and you know, we went mm-hmm. for our second time over to Europe and to Nokia Finland. And just blew my mind, like the amount of people that go crazy for disc golf there.
Yeah,
it doesn't, like I will never forget that there were people, there were guys with their shirts off with Seppo's name painted on their, like in order, SEPPO with their name, and they were just, they were probably, you know, been having a little too much fun, you know, drinking a little bit, but it was amazing.
That Worlds final nine, would you say it's fair to sit, to guess that Ricky Wysocki tapped in his winning putt around 5:30 p.m.? I would say he did. You want to know what I was doing?
You were, you were.
Oh, yeah.
You were becoming a
Coraline,
father.
Coraline was born that day.
During the final day.
Yeah, the final day.
That, at 5:30 p.m. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Right as the world champion was being crowned.
Oh, my wow. gosh.
I remember I was obviously pretty busy, but also pretty interested to see who took down the world.
Yeah, of course. And that was just a shot right there of Barsby holding on to a 71-hole lead, one stroke over Macbeth, who had... Previously, I don't think he had ever lost.
No, I don't think so.
And so he was trying to make the comeback, and Barsby throws out of bounds early, and Paul's in bounds. So it's, that was just such a crazy thing, because Barsby hadn't yet become a world champion.
Yeah, definitely. Let's definitely move it up to Barsby's putt, because like I will never forget the energy of those two. Like, if
one of my favorite putts ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were talking about this during commentary last night.
Yeah, two nights ago. Last night even.
Well, for the people, it would be a lot.
Yeah, for you guys, it was months ago. But for us, it was just last night. We were just talking about how...
Don't break the
how
wall.
Many moments...
This is live.
Yeah, this is happening
they
right now.
I think this is live.
So a few months ago, we were talking about how Barsby just has provided so many moments for so many years. I mean, he's been... Let's just let the footage play.
It's the socks, right?
This forces Paul to have to make a 30-footer.
God, how gross.
Sick.
It's so insane.
And I remember just running with him. Like, I'm on the slow-mo cam here, and I'm just, like, trying to keep it steady because it was just insane. Some of those moments, you're just like, you want to watch, but you also got to film, and you also got to make sure that it's, like, going to be usable footage. Like, there's a lot there trying to keep your emotions in check. And this is just...
Look how casual.
Big putt.
30-foot for the major. That was for birdie, and Barsby's was a save for bogey. But that's the two-stroke swing, and Paul wins by a one.
Incredible.
Unforgettable.
Yeah.
I remember the crowd right after that. I mean, we were all standing on there for, I would feel like, a couple hours just signing autographs, because everybody was, like, disc golf famous there in Finland. Like, no matter who you were, they wanted to meet everybody. They wanted to talk to everybody. And it was just such a great experience. I would love to go back to Finland. It was just incredible. So that was a huge thing for us. And again, just thank you to UC for those incredible opportunities.
2017 was such a big year for Jomez.
Yeah, it really was. We started our final nine event series then.
Oh,
that's
right.
Was a lot of fun. We would basically just sign up everyone for a one round. It wasn't a sanction, but it was essentially like a one round C tier type thing. And it started in our hometown of San Angelo, and we just, like, my brother came up with the idea, and he said, hey, I think people will show up. You take the top four, you put them on video, and it's a good fundraiser thing for us, you know?
Albert Bravo.
Yeah.
Yes. San Angelo.
Yeah, these are our boys, man. Yep. Rudy and Albert and Joe. And, it was so much fun. And this was just the first event. The course, you know, it is what it is. It's West Texas, but it was just the first of many. We ended up getting to do some events with Sexton. With the Sexton Shootouts was the same year. No, you maybe were doing that. Did you do that for 2 years?
Yeah, at least. We did a couple together. Okay. One of them was the first time, I think, the first time I ever met Thomas Gilbert.
That was Emporia.
Yeah.
We did it.
He came out and made the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now Thomas is like... on tour, like a huge, you know,
the
presence
beginning
on tour.
Of Where's Thomas?
Yeah.
And he played the Jomez Pro Final 9.
Yeah.
There he is.
But yeah, so the final nines are always near and dear to our heart. They're kind of hard to do nowadays, but I mean, I'm so glad that for all the, I mean, overall, thousands of people that showed up to those events. I mean, we had so much fun. I love the ones that we got to do with Sexton, because he always drew bigger numbers anyway, so it always made our numbers look really good. The La Mirada one was pretty insane that we got to do.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And of course, Sexton there just doing live commentary, doing his thing. Like, it was such a fun experience.
And then I did a half a awning rip that night.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, wow. Got half an awning off an RV. So, you know, just staying true to it.
That's awesome.
Mailbox.
And then something that I will never forget was a really fun idea we had was the basket dash. We were actually in Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Flying Disc Open that year.
Yeah.
At a Marine State. What?
What I remember is, like, we're running, right? We have one cart and we've got to run. And at any point, there could have been a hole in the grass where the lawnmower didn't really cover it up, and our tournament and maybe the season's over.
Oh my goodness. The liability of you and the guys, the fact that you guys just trusted us to be like, hey, hop in this gator. I'm going to hop in the back. No, I'm in this. Juan's in the very back. In the very back.
Oh my God.
And these guys are just. And look at that. Michael's almost getting hit. There's Drew with a fresh fade.
The time started on the tee pad touch, so Eric intentionally threw from the back of the tee. Fancy stuff.
Oh my gosh, that was pretty smart. This is also one of the sickest flick rollers I've ever seen coming up.
Oh, Sexton.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah.
I don't remember who put him in that position off the tee.
Macbeth.
Here we go, Team Innova. There's a Team Innova.
Yeah, this is what you want to see.
All right, so what, Macbeth teed off?
Yeah,
and this is an iconic hole.
This is me running into 15. The woods, trying to get as fast as I can, and this is the kind of shot.
Forehand, this flick was so gross, dude.
And it's just the kind of shot where you just can't miss the putt.
Yeah, you have a once-in-a-lifetime
shot. Stop, dude, don't put it.
Like, that's circle
Look
one.
Look at that.
That is circle one.
You guys would have won by, like,
a lot. Yeah,
it's just, you. There's no way you miss that.
Bink.
Oh no, the miss.
But like, still got the win.
Added, like, 20 seconds to that run. But what I do remember is if Paige would have made her putt,
barely got it.
You guys would have been toast if Paige would have made her putt on the dynamic disc run. So
for sure.
Basket dash was so much fun. Like Jerm said, it was a massive liability. The fact that we even tried it and that you guys even agreed to it, it just goes back to show like how disc golf used to be. It was the Wild West. Any media team could show up. Any guys, you know, you guys would just like sign up for whatever. Like, it's, you guys have just been like team players the entire time, and I appreciate it because
it's easy. It's so much fun.
I look back at some of that stuff and I can't even emphasize
how much it means to us that at no point, you know, you guys asked us to come out here, and yes, it requires time and commitment, but when we show up, it's, you guys just enjoy yourself. You do your thing, be yourself. You know, and we'll see what we can do with it. And at no point have I ever felt like I needed to be edited, and I should have maybe in some ways, but not by you guys. Like, I've got that from the comments section. You know, I've adapted what I do in some ways, and in some ways I say, you know what, I don't care what you say.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying this. We're having a good time. You guys get free content on YouTube. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. So going to the 2017 USDGC, as we get closer to the end of that year, it was pretty special for one of the guys on our crew with the new baby.
2017 was a real barn burner of a year for
me. Yeah, man.
I mean, Sexton shows up. We do Spin TV again, and he just does his thing, you know? Like, I don't even know how that final round went. Can you remind me what the situation was?
Oh, yeah. Well, like we talked about in episode one of Showmez, in 2015, I had the 3-shot lead, 18 holes to play, and it was over Wysocki and Macbeth. And I distinctly remember having another 3-shot lead with one round to play in 2017 and thinking to myself, at least it's only Wysocki this time. I don't have both of them. Not both of them are three behind me. Like, I can maybe get away with this. And then...
Yeah.
He actually bogeyed 1 and 3, and I birdied both. And then I remember thinking, I'm up 7 with 15 to play. Don't be an idiot. And yeah. I remember thinking, like, I mean, I was tough. It was kind of like internal sort of tough love. I remember thinking, you'll never get another shot this good. What have you been doing all this for? If you can't come through in this moment in these next few hours. You know, because I already knew what it was like to burn a 3-stroke lead and just blow up into oblivion and lose the major. I did that already. So I was like, if no one's ever going to set the table for you better than this. 7 shots, 15 holes. Just don't go out of bounds. Just make your putts and you're going to win this thing walking away. And thankfully, that came to pass. And I was able to win. It was a 5 or 6 shot win. And it wasn't too, it was still very stressful coming down the stretch, but not as stressful as it could have been.
Just the first major you played after the birth of your daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about my my late friend Matt Keats.
Yeah.
First PDGA tournament he played after his daughter was born was his only open win.
Yeah.
And I just remember just feeling like, man, like that, it was written.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, it was special.
I need a daughter.
It was one of those moments where
I need a daughter.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I need to have a daughter born 2 weeks before Worlds.
And I remember, I'll never forget. We'll show the footage on screen. But the iconic slow mo shot of Nate holding his daughter up, Lion King style.
I didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
I mean, all eyes were on me.
This is what happens when you don't know what to do with your hands. You raise them up. That's the only thing you can do.
To the sky.
What?
She was about 3 months old at the time.
That was such a good shot. I remember she's like sleeping because she just said, she's like, I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I love that moment for you. I'll never forget how happy everyone was for you. I remember it was like kind of wet and rainy. Like it was like, you know, they didn't cancel the tournament and just declare someone a winner the day before just out of sheer pity or whatever, you know. It
was everyone was happy that he won. I was on the card too, you know.
It was
I was trying to go for a repeat.
I've said this before. Yeah, you were. That was, I was glad you were there though. It made it, it was like,
how do I take that?
No, you should. I was meaning it sincerely.
Okay, good. Me too.
You suck. Also, I was I've said this before, I know, but it just was like such a affirming moment because I had like taken what I felt were a lot of risks in like buying an RV and uprooting my family and putting my brand new baby in an RV and driving around the country. And then in that moment when I won that, it just felt like all the college classes I skipped to go disc golfing, like I got away with it. You know, it just felt like all my choices made a lot more sense after I had that trophy.
Instant validation.
Where I was like, you know, and obviously I got my degree. I didn't skip that many classes, but I was, you know, I was trying to play some disc golf.
Yeah.
All that time trying to get better and trying to get better and taking every spare time when I could have been probably studying or doing other things. But yeah, I don't want to take too much time for this, but yeah, just really a moment that I'll obviously never forget.
That's awesome, man.
Your speech. Yeah, like we can move on after this, but the speech that you gave after that, just saying like, there's nothing else that I would want. You have your wife, you have your baby daughter there with you.
Most of my friends were there.
The title that's maybe more coveted for the
Jerm,
players.
Jerm was on the card.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Not beating
regardless
him,
of how
like,
much I
keep
suck,
him close,
I was there.
But not too close.
I remember saying I've got everything I ever wanted.
I have everything I ever wanted. Oh.
Yeah.
Even hearing that now brings me just like back to that emotional state of like when I heard that there in the crowd, I was like, I am so proud of this man.
Yeah,
right now.
It was
so
crazy.
Happy for my good buddy.
Yeah.
And it was just, everything was perfect in that moment.
And then that was probably the most awkward commentary I've ever done.
Yeah, of course.
Trying to be like, because I'm still like vibrating.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like the next morning to come in and run the commentary and pretend like I don't know what's going to happen and not like be super smug about like what a nice shot again. And like, you know, like, wow,
so
really
myself.
very clutch there. And nobody really has a chance at this thing. You're kind of icing all of them, you know.
I think our audience understands
it was very difficult,
but it is the hardest thing to do. Doing commentary when you play bad's easy.
Yeah,
you're
so
just like,
easy.
And look at that.
Yeah.
I missed again.
Yeah.
Oh, doink.
Yeah.
But when you're doing well, it's like,
and even harder when you actually
shredded
win.
That and that was perfect. Exactly where I wanted to throw it. And if you say anything nice about your shot,
you're
smug.
It feels weird. Yeah.
But it's like, what else do you say about it?
Yes.
You leave it to someone else? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's got to be one of the tougher parts for you guys.
I found it easier to just not make coverage.
I decided,
let's just not make the coverage, and then it makes my job way easier.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about like.
Easy. Well, you can tell how much I had fun, but it's not like I won any more majors after that. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that commentary
no.
again.
Yeah, what a
no,
nightmare.
Not enjoyable.
In a tournament,
it was fun.
Commentate
sure, it was
it.
Fun, but man, that next day you pay for it.
Was it worth it? We'll never know.
So moving into the 2017 Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship was our first time filming the championship. It was the second one of the tour history. It was in Jacksonville, Florida. I had set up a fun little
this is so cool.
commemorative idea for the big... I forgot about the trophies.
I still have that. Those were like...
I hope so. Oh, Those things cost a lot of money.
Oh, I bet they did. They're gold.
So they walk out of the commentary. They didn't have a clue this was happening. I give them the trophies. I think it just says 2017
Most valuable commentators. Yeah, MVP.
And then we did our first run of Big Sexy Discs.
NBC.
And it was just so much fun. It was the birth of one of our biggest merchandise campaigns we've ever done. Because before that, we didn't really have a lot of time for selling a bunch of merch. And I remember, Nate was commenting on how realistic the microphone looked, and he thought it was real gold for a second.
I still was under that impression. Is it not?
I mean, you could try.
I remember it was such a different time because with that format of the tour championships, I had already busted out of this thing.
Oh, I forgot.
And I remember nowadays I would never leave early.
Yeah.
But I remember then being somebody else can do commentary.
Yeah.
I don't need to be here. And I remember.
Okay, so Bree was obviously there with Bree.
Yeah, my wife.
And he wanted to leave so bad. He was like, I'm out early. I already made my money. I got paid for making it through. What was second round or
whatever
something.
Whatever it was, yeah.
And I told Bree, I was like, oh my God, I wish we had the grandma's wallpaper putters.
I have one.
I probably have one somewhere
So Nate wants to just hit the road. You're going back home, right? Basically, why am I sticking around for two more days? I made my money. I'm gone. Screw commentary. These guys can do it without
somebody
me.
Else can do it.
It's not that important to me. And I told Brie, I was like, okay, I had to tell somebody because it was a surprise. And I told her, we got all these discs for them. I got these trophies. We're going to do this whole thing after the round. Is there any way you can convince him to stay? And she's like, I'll see what I can do. And I remember y'all went to the zoo one day.
Dude, she was coming to me and she's like, I was like, yeah, we should just go. We can get all the way back. We're driving to Oregon. And I remember her being
all the way across the country.
Yeah, as far as you can go.
You can't get much farther unless you're in southern Florida.
And I remember her being like, oh, I just want to watch the golf. I want to see who wins. I want to watch the women. I was like, what? Since when do you?
Nice job, Brie. Way to sell it.
I guess we can stay and watch. This is so weird for you to be so invested. I'm out of it, right?
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, I just want to see him. It's just wow, it's so exciting. And
that's amazing.
So yeah, she totally tricked me and got me to stay.
Props to Brie for making that happen.
Trust issues forever. For you, Brie.
Because if he would have left, we would have kind of been in bad shape trying to finish out the season and in biggest year for Jomez Pro, having all you guys involved in some capacity and our first year on tour and selling the merch, and it was just so much fun. And
our compensation for our rounds, I don't remember what it was, but it was the compensation was the exposure for the brand, for our personal brands, for the Jomez brand, for for our companies that sponsored us. All that kind of stuff was just kind of paying for itself, and we are enjoying this is fun. But financially speaking, it was very, very bare bones.
Yeah, it cost you money. I think we actually required you to
appear
on the coverage because of how popular we were.
Yeah, but that merch drop was the first time where it was wow, there's this is something I love doing, but a job. It wasn't really a job because I was enjoying it so much and I wasn't really getting paid much. That felt like a job. That was when it really started to feel like this could potentially be something that I lean into as a career at some point.
Yeah, back when we really couldn't afford much on the talent side of things, that's why we did that. Because we were like, well, if I can order 500 discs and
huge
sell them
back.
And give you guys half the money, amazing. I don't even think we did that. I think we just gave you the money, all of it, whatever.
Yeah, you guys took the
whatever
cost.
Whatever didn't cost us, yeah. And so I just remember being like, well, this is a good way to get these guys to show them how much we appreciate them, because I can't really pay them all that much. mm-hmm. you know, and I'm tired of, you know, Germ complaining that he has to pay to be on commentary.
Oh, so I figured, God.
And I had to do that thing where he would pay the 50 and then you would give me the 50 and I had to pretend like I was also yeah. paying the 50.
Yeah.
And that was just,
it just felt wrong.
It was so stressful.
Now it yeah. makes sense.
That I was kept all thinking wrong. That Germ yeah. was going to catch on and he never did, even no. though I think at one point we did it right in front of him and he just like,
I still don't think I'm quite clear, but me figure it out later.
Oh, God.
No, but, yeah, as we get wrapped up that year, again, it's just there was no slowing down for us. Like you guys, we all got to kind of go our separate ways for the off season, do our thing, and come back into Vegas. Hey, what's up, everyone? I want to take this opportunity to announce something very special that we've got coming up for the final round of the 2022 Professional Disc Golf World Championships. We are going to be doing the commentary live and in person if you can be there in Emporia, Kansas, Sunday, September 4th. And if you can't, we're going to be doing a live stream for everyone. And yeah, I'm really excited to have Nate Sexton, Jeremy Colling, and Paul Ulibarri like just giving us all this opportunity because people ask us all the time. They would love to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, just to be fair, I mean, it's post-produced, but the commentary is being recorded live. So you can get a seat in the theater, yeah. front row seat, to see us do what we do normally behind closed doors.
People ask us all the time, do you ever watch these before you record commentary? Not at all. And we're going to prove to you in person at the Granada Theater. Is that right?
Correct.
Granada Theater, September 4th. Kansas.
Spoiler, I'm the last cash world champion.
Congratulations, Paul.
So go to JomezProNextDayLive.com for more information and to get tickets, whether you can be there in person or whether you want to be there watching us on the live stream. We're going to have some other special guests. Starframe's going to be there doing a live DJ set with all the Jomez Pro favorites. It's going to be insane.
Sweet.
Please do your best to get in there. We cannot wait to share this experience with you.
See you there.
This was our first time being at the Las Vegas Challenge, I believe. And we got hired to do multi-card coverage for the first time ever. Like multi-card in the same day.
Oh, I remember that.
We did women's, the FPO round in the morning and the MPO round in the afternoon. And we used the same four people for all of it. Like it was another nightmare scenario that I signed us up for.
That sounds awful.
It really was. And so... In the morning, and one of the mornings, I think, was the morning it like snowed in Vegas for the first time, like,
oh, that's right,
ever, or I don't know, but yeah, you know, not very often. And we're in, and it was just so cold in the morning. And even, I mean, everyone's dressed pretty warm here. It wasn't hot that year, from what I remember. Well, I don't know. I guess this final day looks like pretty nice weather, but I remember it was a lot. It was another new graphic system. So, like I said, in 2017, the new graphic system, the first one always means like a lot of headaches, a lot of working out the kinks, and so we're doing that. We're staying at like the Longhorn Hotel and Casino, some like really like one star hotel. It was just overall just a rough experience. And you guys just stuck it through with us. I remember it was a crazy experience watching Eagle.
This is where we got leaned into for me having a snack, I think. And then we filmed a bit about the Pop-Tart in the RV, I believe.
Yeah.
Where it was just, we're just shoving snacks into our face. How long we got Eagle McMahon here? That was also where we got to discover Joel Freeman for the first time, his breakout performance.
Yeah.
I got to say, and I think I've kind of told you this before, Jerm, but all the goofy riffing that we do, through all of it, your willingness to kind of like play the heel and allow us to goof on things that you do. Yeah. Not a lot of people, I think, are brave enough and secure enough to like allow that and laugh at themselves. And I just really appreciate that about you. That's just something that allowed our brand to grow in a big way. And I think, I don't know how much people see that. Yeah. Or if they just think, you know, like just how you just were kind of like, oh, me, you know.
Yeah.
Like you're obviously, Jeremy is a smart guy. I think everyone who listens to our stuff knows that. See, he's doing it right now, but
yeah,
the,
really,
but just the willingness,
really down
honestly,
on
the willingness
trying to just clear,
because I don't, you know, some people would get mad or they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be able to roll with it. that's something that I respect about you, allowing all the goofiness to just continue and continue.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for you being such a straight man, I mean, if you were goofier, then I'd probably have to straighten up a bit. So thank you for being so tight, you know, top buttoned. Because if you weren't, then I'd really have to change my act.
Yeah, and maybe
who
so.
Knows what would happen.
What's Yuli's thing then?
Gosh, he's goofy too, but he, you know.
He's one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my entire life.
He is. Dude,
like,
he
is. He knows when to. Oh my yeah, it's like gosh, when the humor needs to be dropped, Yuli's there.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, I don't know anyone else that could bring it.
Yeah.
I'm not like, even trying, though. I was trying to be serious, and then people think I'm joking.
Yep.
You know, like, the funniest thing he's ever done, I think, is the Bushnell hole breakdowns. You know, like where he's just
that
like
really
raw humor stuff there.
Yeah.
Like top, like, I'm Paul Uhlenberg.
Just committing
and I'm here
to
for the whole bush.
Yeah.
I can't even do it. How do you do such a funny straight face? I don't get it.
Oh my God.
I just get nervous in front of the camera. I don't know. And I just turn into a serious guy.
I don't know why I insisted on this being included. I guess because I decided to want to toot my own horn for the one time.
Oh, you
got to
have a chance
to do that.
Dude.
Skip
it.
We went
bit.
To the memorial.
Skip it.
Skip it.
I mean, off the ground. Don't skip the video.
Skip
it off the ground.
He wants to skip the shot. Let's cut it. Guys.
No. Show us the skip.
This is the
commentary. We go to memorial. We filmed the memorial. At the right after Vegas, we do a CCDG versus Jomez Pro round. It was so much fun. It was like a media battle royale. We made a big deal out of it. It was so much fun. And
are you thinking right now that you're about to throw one of the greatest shots in disc golf
history? No, because look, I have a putter in my hand. See?
He's trying to go between the V.
He's thinking about putting it. He might switch discs. What do you switch to?
What do you think? A Sexton Firebird.
Gotta be Sexton Firebird.
Okay. Which year?
That was the cheap ones, the 17s.
Oh, those ones.
The more affordable ones.
When they were cheap.
Yeah, right.
Just a nasty.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, you try that 1,000 times and you hit metal a couple
especially
of those.
Especially there. There's no skipping at
that. That grass
it
is
was
too
so
thick
stupid.
To skip in.
And then I did the old AJ Risley dance on him.
Oh, like,
it's not my style, guys. I got a little too caught up in the moment. But
we've all been guilty of that.
Caught up. You were perfectly caught in the moment.
Oh, AJ Risley was on the commentary. Like, it was the only time I'll ever throw anything even remotely that good on camera, so. At least it happened one time.
No, that's everyone gets their moment in the sun, and that was well, you were in the shade, but that was a special.
And
shot.
Then we go into Texas States. This year was at Texas Army Trail and Spring Valley.
Oh God!
Yuli's playing.
Oh God!
Second year in a row that we filmed Texas States that we get two aces in two rounds.
Wow.
Yuli was one of Bradley was one.
Bradley
that was
yeah.
for the first one. Mm-hmm. Bradley Williams hits an ace.
Brad's shot was so beautiful.
And then what was Yuli's?
Yuli's was a hyzer.
It was good.
No touch hyzer.
What's hilarious is Bradley's is like the most technical, most beautiful shot ever. Doesn't make SportsCenter.
Right.
Yeah.
And then this mine's is just like the worst, like hyzer sidearm through a tree.
That is
like
just
that,
such a
that
pure...
hole is so hard.
Look at the celebration,
too.
And Yuli is like, good job, dude.
I was fist pumping and being happy.
I think that was a Mako, like an OG Mako.
That's awesome.
That was totally a cool guys don't watch explosions.
Like, look
action.
At this shot. Slow roll. Oh, tiny gap.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
That is so controlled.
I still like Yuli's because it was a pretty crazy angle. Look at that tee box. James Conrad's nightmare.
Yeah. This would be.
The back of that box is like a 2-foot drop.
So, I mean, to the untrained eye, the big swooping hyzer might be more impressive than a straight shot. Because most people, when they throw frisbees, they're throwing straight frisbees. So when you see a big curve, you're like, how could you factor in that much angle?
And you have to go over a big river right there, too.
Yeah,
scary.
That actually is a...
yeah, Paul, dramatize it up, buddy.
Scary windy.
Oh, man.
I feel like that was the exact same throw as the one I aced. Like, it would ace both of those holes at my Texas State.
Oh, yeah, the hole.
It's crazy when me and you... Let's just skip to when Germ aces at Texas State. Can we see that one?
I have a compilation of a bunch. I got a compilation of me at Texas State falling and birding a hole.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was pretty cool. I almost tore every ACL.
You know what? That shot.
Well, and the ones in my elbow.
Oh, fair.
All the bullying... that Texas State has done to me.
Yeah.
That shot makes it all worth it.
Absolutely. Does it? I mean, it propelled the Uliberry brand.
Can we run that clip of him in the first tree?
I mean, that did make SportsCenter. That one did.
Yeah.
Another fun ace that we had on SportsCenter was Cyus Elmore at 2018 Utah Open. This is one of the most ridiculous aces.
Elmore, if you will.
One of the most ridiculous aces you'll ever see. Just because it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, this hole is the hardest hole to park. It's just got zero landing.
Thumber, bounce.
Bounce. Oh, man. Up and that's in. Cool.
So gross.
Yeah. I don't know how to play the hole.
I don't even think that makes sense to throw on that hole.
No.
I know, because it's going to go in the bunker one way or the other.
He's like, wait, I'm safe?
Yeah. I'm safe in the basket.
Every single casual, that's every casual player's ace. That's the hero right there. It's every single casual
He's
player
the every
of
man.
All time. Yeah. He was their king for a day.
Oh my gosh.
Cyus is nasty with it.
He is. He's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's better than pretty much anybody throwing thumbers on this couch, I think.
Touch, probably.
I gotta go.
Touch, probably. Maybe not power, but I'll give him touch.
No, that was.
I don't really
just
know how
fun.
To throw a touch thumber.
Yeah, I know.
Moving on to 2018 D-Glo, one of just the most memorable moments of my career. Paul McBeth shoots 18 down at the Discraft Great Lakes Open. It as if the moment itself wasn't mind blowing enough. Like I remember as he's like lining up the putt, thinking like. If he makes it, like I was so nervous.
Yeah.
Because we're watching him do the entire thing throughout the round for hours. But when it came down to the 18th green, it was like, if he makes this, I might like cry a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I may never see a moment like this ever again.
Yeah.
And obviously he makes the shot, gets the 18 down. The next day we find out that our good friend Mike Bergeron. Like cut this piece together for SportsCenter as like a special feature,
and the commentary from
this shot right here.
This is how close was it?
Oh, that's 19 down right there.
Yeah,
that's the difference between 19, and if he doesn't slip on 10, 20,
it's just insane to think about.
This putt was
this
insane.
Putt. Yeah, I mean, so we have the amazing commentary by what's his
AJ Risley.
No. The SportsCenter commentary. What's his name? How am I forgetting his name?
I off the top of my head, I can't.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll just have an audio clip. I'm saying his name right now. And then we'll just get that later.
Okay. I can't believe I forgot his name. So, yeah. Germ, I believe, and AJ Risley did the actual commentary. And then we had Paul come back in and do commentary with you.
Yeah,
to a special
in
cut.
Czechia.
That's right. It was in Czechia.
Yeah, I have to say, AJ Risley was the first time working with Jomez in round one. And he's a very funny individual, a lot of energy. I mean, anyone that knows AJ or ever heard him do commentary before.
This is the putt.
I was so nervous.
I mean, just the clutch is so smooth and slow.
What is that, 50, 45?
At least.
Oh, at least 50, yeah.
It's just insane to think about 3 to 4 hours of flawless execution.
Yep.
He got it on SportsCenter.
I just want to give AJ some props real quick, if you guys will. The first round, he was a bit rambunctious, a bit hyper, and I think he didn't quite understand the flow of the teamwork there on the first round. And it was fine because it's your first time working, and Nate and Paul weren't there, so you know he stepped up in a big way. But going into that second round, before we did commentary, we kind of had like a little meeting of sorts, like this is going to be one of the most important rounds of commentary.
Yeah, it's been watched over a million times.
And so like we have to really make sure that instead of jokes and funny bits, this has got to be the more buttoned up version of Jomez.
Can you imagine Germ telling somebody
that? I know, it's crazy. It was a weird role for me to be in, but like we kind of had a little conference, him and I, before we're going into it, like we got to make sure that what we do here, we're happy with putting our brand on this product that we're putting out there for history to watch.
Yeah.
First ever recorded 18 under in disc golf history.
And on that note, with how serious it was, then you guys ended with singing Whitney Houston in the outro. Because you remember that,
remember
don't
that.
You? Yes, you do.
I don't remember that. AJ wore
the Whitney Houston shirt, and then you guys like ended it by singing I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Well,
speaking of how professional
I had a point, and then
you just, totally. Yeah, and that's why I just wanted to let you. I really wanted to let you run with that and talk about how serious
it was. A huge improvement from round one, and I'll give him that. It was, but it was great. And then running it back with Paul and Czechia was special to have him give us input and the insight of the man who did it.
Fast forwarding to the little conference we had at the 2021 Worlds, where I said, if you ruin the James Conrad chat, I'll never talk to you again.
Which I did.
Some and people would argue that he did ruin it.
But no. I got an Emmy.
No, I don't think he ruined it.
I got an Emmy.
I'll still talk.
Yeah,
to
I got.
Him.
I have an Emmy.
But we did have to have that little moment where it's like, hey, yeah. Like this is one that we're gonna go. You know, this sound clip. You know,
we'll talk about that in future shows.
Billion view clip, maybe. But who knows? Eventually,
that was one of the. I've never felt nervous about doing commentary.
Yeah, it was weird.
Until 5 a.m. the morning after Worlds 2021.
Definitely.
That was when I was like, how do we do this?
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't know how to accurately convey what just is about to happen.
Oh, my goodness. And, moving on to 2018 Pro Worlds in Burlington, Vermont at the Green Mountain Championship venue, Smuggler's Notch. That was another one. We did the multi-card coverage again. We just are gluttons for punishment.
Yeah.
We just cannot help ourselves. We have to do the MPO FPO grind. Shout out to the Disc Golf Network guys. They've been doing that for years actually now.
Yeah.
But the post-produce actually adds a huge element beyond the physical, like being present and just pointing the camera, like actually like going and turning that around, and Michael just, you know, hating me every day that another round starts over.
Yikes.
Barsby, man, just it was the year of the people's champ.
Yes,
everyone just lost it when he won.
And Anthon, man, the heartbreak there. I mean,
yeah,
the beautiful drive on 17 that just inexplicably stood up and rolled and rolled and rolled, and it just is fourth.
Look at
runner
Yuli.
Up finish
Look
at a world championship
making that run, only three back. Just so close.
Yeah, man. That was a really good
run. He looks good, though. He's the best looking guy on the card.
Yeah, I mean, at least top four.
Clear, easy
but,
top four.
But, yeah, and then of course, watching Paige Bjorkus win. Or, you know, who was Paige Bjorkus before she was married. And I just remember how emotional that moment was. Yeah, and her parents there and just, like, congratulating her. And I remember her, like, jumping up and down. And I remember, like, on the 18th tee box, like, Paige takes her off to the side before she tees off because she knows she's going to win. And Paige is just, like, you know, giving her these words of encouragement and just, like, telling
wonderful.
Her to just, like, keep her head on straight. You know, she's got this. And it was just so amazing.
Wow.
The whole thing was so emotional. Like, so having Greg and Paige win that year was just, it was so cool. Like, that was such a great venue for Worlds.
Yeah.
I think
my favorite. I think
it was fun.
I mean, we're very excited that we get to go back there in 2023.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's just, you can't really host at a better place. I mean, obviously where Jeff Spring really showed that he had what it takes to run the Disc Golf Pro Tour is the way he handled Smuggler's Notch and then Worlds, and then it was like,
Yeah, and then we got to do this fun little this little hype video we filmed this at Pro Worlds to get it ready for 2018 USDGC. I think like
you guys got some cool voice dude to do this too.
Yeah, I think Juan headed this up, covered all the directional stuff on it, and then made sure it was such a fun project. It was so different than anything we'd ever done. Like, it's just totally out of like the norm for us. We got.
Definitely something I had in my file of things I'll probably never do is have someone spray water on my face to make it look like I was sweating for a video shoot. Not something I ever saw myself doing, but it was a close your eyes, spritz, spritz, spritz. All right, mad face.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Jerm looks all cozy with
there. I am.
Yep.
So serious.
It's the warmest flag I've ever worn.
So that was our promo for the first time ever doing multi-card MPO coverage, even though technically USDGC is open. Like, this was our first time covering two cards simultaneously. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Lead and chase card. It was, again, I can't repeat, I can't say it enough, but we always keep pushing to get out of our comfort zone because we were just like, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
You know, like, we wanted to keep getting better. We knew that people were very supportive of everything we were doing, but we just thought, like, how can we just keep pushing even harder? And it was filming, having like 10 people on site, filming two cards simultaneously, doing post-production turnaround. We had Big Sexy on one card, and we had whatever name AJ Risley came up with himself for himself and Yuli for Chase card.
That was awesome.
Was it like the Brutality? Wasn't that one of the names?
Brutality. Yeah. It was the Brutality.
And I remember we did the skit. Like we did the skit where they were like, awesome. Are they gonna show up? Are they coming? And then AJ's like, I don't know. I think we should do it. And then you guys walk in and like, oh my gosh, we used to have so much
I remember saying,
fun
this is
with
the
those
Super
random,
Bowl, not Friday Night
used
Lights.
To. We still do. Like, that was
Wait,
the first time
saying?
Seeing
it. He said, this is Super Bowl on Friday Night Lights.
Not Friday Night Lights.
And then, like, the Ledgestone one, take a polo. Yeah, like, Nate comes back from being a dad and all that. And he's like, I don't know if I can do it anymore, man. And I had, like, the cardboard laptop and the juice bottle. And you're like, hello and welcome. No, man.
Salutations.
And greetings, I'm here.
Oh my gosh, we've had so many fun skits over the years, and the Brutality thing, like you and AJ, that was so much fun, like having you guys do your commentary thing, and so I think this was another Macbeth year. Is that correct?
Yeah, most of them are.
Yeah. So, anyways, getting to finish off 2018 with.
I don't want to see my ace anyway. That'd be stupid.
And then we have... So yours was 2018, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will show it. I couldn't remember.
No. Anyways, Macbeth wins.
It won't be on this one, but we'll talk about it real quick so we can show it. So Yuli is lined up on hole 17 of the island hole at Winthrop Gold. I don't know. What round was that?
Third round.
Third round. Lead card. Correct?
Yes.
And just, it was the year after Ricky had already done the same thing, mm-hmm. same hole, and Yuli went four. Y'all both did forehand, is that correct? What'd you throw there?
That was back then, it was at H1.
H1, yeah.
Yep.
So, I just, it's like, that's like, of all the places to hit an ace, I'm sure there's better places like overall, but it's like the drama. Iconic.
That's my number one the situation. Shot I think I've ever thrown. Just because of, I'd never made that was the first ever time I ever made the lead card at USDGC, and I had like 10 top 10 finishes, and I'd never made lead card. It was it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I didn't play that well, and I was walking up to the hole, and these guys were like, hey man, like, you gonna put it on the green? Like, you know? And I'm like, what? And then I looked at him and I go, I'm like, it was so bizarre. I'm with my mom and I'm like, no, I'm going to try to make it because I was so mad.
Oh.
And then I made it. And I remember seeing my mom in the crowd afterwards, and it was just like, dang, like one of those moments where I'm like, my mom just watched me do this thing.
That's awesome.
Where like, yeah.
And it's just,
you know.
You're like vicariously living through your mom, vicariously living through you.
And yeah, it was crazy. And it goes in the USDG's highlight reel forever of all the people that just can aces or hit just insane shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they raise their baby up in the air instead of a trophy, like that type of thing. Like, no, but USDGC is just, it's always going to have that prestige of just being on those
iconic.
Same grounds every year.
Iconic.
Probably the most famous hole ever.
Yeah, and it was just for us to like, for us to be able to like really push our boundaries and be able to do it as Jomez Pro for the first year, because usually we would do it under Spin TV, and we finally got to do it independently. That's why we pushed so hard. We're like, let's like make this different than anything we've done before. We did lead and chase together. We had two different commentary crews going one right after another. We were turning around all this stuff, and like, just everybody involved just gave it everything they had. And I look back on those times, and even though that's 4 years ago, like, I just look back on that and like the grind was like so worth it for you guys showing up every day of every round that you guys were called upon, and never like skipping out or anything, even though Sexton like wanted to leave and like we convinced him, and like he said looking back, he's like, I can't even believe I was like thinking about that.
Yeah,
like,
everything's
what
different
it is now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like 2018 USDGC was the time that I really first realized, oh my gosh, these guys are insane. Like, the crew was so large, the production was so grand compared to us huddling over a microphone on the... I wanted to show it. It's like, this is how we do commentary.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, we were hunched over with like a little TV screen or like a computer screen. And then to that, with lights on our face, it was the first time we really ever set that up. And it was just like, wow, like, we're a part of something that's going to change the sport.
Yeah.
It's going to change the scope of media production for our sport moving forward. This is now the new stage. And you guys did it by bringing that crew, recruiting the best of the best, which you guys have always done, aside from commentary, bringing out the most talented people through the world of disc golf. Like, hey, like I went to school for this type of engineering or production or editing or whatever. And like, that was where it really, like, for the first time came to like fruition. Like, this is sick.
Yeah, and after that, impressive. You know, after that, we just, as we get into episode 3 after this, we just looked like, again, like, how do you keep moving forward from that, you know? And so this is where I'm excited to get into episode 3 next time, with just how we stepped it up even more with 2019 and just the things that developed through then. But just finishing on such a high note with all of you guys there together, having all of you included in the production. It was technically the first time all three of you were even included in like a single tournament, because it was always you two or you and Jerm. And so like, that's like, it's just looking back on it now, I'm just like, it's just so crazy. Like we had the biggest crew ever. We got to be with all of our friends. Like, that's what makes this, like, it is a job. We do it for a living. We do it because we want to support our families and stay out on the road and all that. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's not. Like, we get to hang out with our friends and we get to change the landscape of a sport.
Yeah.
Like, just by, and it's not because we're like trying to be full of ourselves or do whatever. It's like, we just want to put our best work out there. You guys want to play your best. You guys want to commentate your best. We're going to put out the best product, like, on the production side. And it has such a lasting impact that, thankfully, like, people can let us, that they let us know in the comments, and they, when they see us in person, they mention it. And it's like, not why you do it, but it so makes all that worth it, all the hours that we put in and the times we make you guys stay up late or show up early or make Jerm pay to be on and all that stuff. Like, it's all naturally worth it.
It reminds me of Andrew Fish's disc stamp that he had a couple years ago. It's just, he always has silly stamps. But I might butcher the quote a bit, but it said, I do what I love for a living, so yay for me. That's awesome. And it's just an outline of the state of Maryland where he's from. It's just like, I love it so much. But yeah, that's kind of how it feels sometimes. It's like, I love this.
Yeah, for sure.
Yay for me.
For sure.
You know, like, yeah, yay for all of us. Crazy. Man. There's a lot more of us now than there was even at the end of 2018, and I'm so proud of how far we've come.
Every time I come to your guys' house, there's like three more people. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Who are the new nerds?
Somebody needs to explain to Yuli how babies are made, but that's just part of.
What are you?
Yeah, who's that nerd? It's our loving term of endearment for any of the Jomez staff. What's up, nerds? Yeah. We just walk in the door like we're a bunch of badasses. We just throw our coats down and expect a nerd to pick it up for us.
All the way back to when we were in the RV and they'd be like sleeping and we'd finish front nine and be like, oh yeah, nerds.
Oh yeah, yeah. We would be in the RV sleep. I'd be passed out because I didn't get any sleep, and they would finish front nine and I had to come stop the commentary, and then I would literally
I was sleeping in the
RV right above them because the RV bunk was above where they were, and they'd be like, nerds, we're done. Oh my gosh. It's just like, you guys have just brought just the most insane experiences, and we're only through the end of 2018.
Like some
just
kind of 80s movie. Yeah,
and our recap. Like, we're just bullies.
So I'll never like be able to probably fully embrace or like really appreciate until like maybe wait like years and years down the road. Stamp. But it's like, it's just so much fun. So thank you everyone for joining us for episode 2 of Showmez. Be sure to tune in for episode 3 coming soon, where we start off in the beginning of 2019. And as we get ready to wrap up, I just wanted to give you guys one more reminder that we are celebrating our 10-year anniversary with 2 new throwback stamps in molds from Innova and Discraft on JomezPro.com. So be sure to go over there and see what we've got available while supplies last. Yeah, we appreciate everyone sticking around with us, kind of reminiscing and reliving. I really appreciate Yuli, Nate, and Jerm being here with me, spending time as we finish up an event and get ready to head into another one. So thank you all for watching. We look forward to seeing you for the next episode of Showmez Season 3. Take care.
Bye.
Later, nerds.
Later, nerds.